Kerry. Welcome to Southern FM.
Oh, it's nice to be here again. Thank you, Andrew.
Yes, we had a very enjoyable talk last time. The space station is represented there, isn't it? The American space station.
In the space exhibition, yes. What we have on display is a full-scale reproduction of the living quarters of the American space station Freedom. We've reproduced what is referred to as the HAB module in its complete diameter. The only thing we've had to cut short was the length, so we have one that's about half the length of the original, but everything inside it is what you would find inside the original American station.
So I guess by serendipity you've now got, in fact, a pretty realistic HAB module, because the Americans have recently reduced the length of their modules by half.
Well, that's in fact true, yes. Yes, I'd forgotten about that. When we made it, it was actually half the size of the original, but yes, you're right, it is now about the full size. In fact, it's, again, by serendipity, as it turns out, we have, in fact, the closest reproduction of what that interior is going to be, because our module is actually sponsored by the Boeing company. Now, at the time that we approached Boeing for the sponsorship to build this module, they were only one of the contenders for the construction of the HAB module, so that we were doing it based on one design, not necessarily the final design. Of course, as it turned out, Boeing won the contract, so that our module is based on their direct designs for what is now the prototype HAB module for the space station.
And can the visitors actually go inside it?
Oh yes, visitors can walk right through it. They walk down the central part of the space station. The only thing we can't provide is the weightlessness, unfortunately, but you can see where the crew would eat, where they sleep, the control panels that they use to control the various operations of the space station. We even have a space shower and the inevitable space toilet.
Ah, that's the question that everyone wants to know. Well, will it then go to the museum, shall we? Our listeners go to the museum and find out for themselves.
Yes, you can see how it's done, more or less.
One of the things that did intrigue me when I was there, there's a number of video monitors. What were they before? They're all showing different pictures. How is that done?
You mean how have we done that?
Yes, how have you done it?
Oh, right.
And what does it represent in what it represents in the real world?
What it represents in the real space station, we've reproduced what is called the central workstation of the HAB module. Now, the habitation module is where the crew live. It's not actually where they do their main work. That would be done in other modules of the space station. But because naturally you'll be spending much more time in your living quarters, apart from working, you need a way to control and monitor what's happening in the rest of the spaceship or the space station, so that the central workstation is where you can do that. You can monitor what's happening in the other modules and on the outside of the space station. And the different monitors that we have there represent those monitors which would be used in keeping an eye on the rest of the space station. What we currently have playing on them is a variety of programs that come or that were provided to us by the United States Information Agency on video disc, and we have a computer controlled video disc player which allows us to select various pieces from the programs that are on this video disc and display them on the monitors. We alter them around a bit from time to time too, so that, as would naturally happen in the real space station, you wouldn't be looking at the same things all the time. We've chosen a series of various scenes, which a lot of them were taken from the space shuttle or inside the space lab, which of course is the small laboratory module that the shuttle can carry into space, so that they actually look like they would be scenes filmed in and around the space station or inside other parts of the space station.
Next to the space station module, there's the nose of the space shuttle.
Yes, that's right, and that's full scale also. One of the things we were quite keen to do in the exhibition is to have everything on as close to the original scale as possible, or at the original scale if we could, because we wanted to give a real impression of the scale of space hardware. I mean, mostly what people see are little desktop models and things like that, and they can never give you the full impact of how big or how small, in fact, some space technology is. And in the case, as I say, in the case of the HAB module, of course, we've gone for something that was as close to full size as we could. And with the space station, the space shuttle, we have the nose cone, or the nose section, the crew compartment of the shuttle, at its full size. So the exterior mock-up is accurate to the full size. We didn't actually reproduce the interior because it would have been, the interior of the space shuttle is actually quite cramped, and it would have been too difficult for visitors to the museum to move through it and actually maintain a good visitor flow of people moving through. So what we have done with the interior is turn it into a theatrette, where you can see, we have a large video screen in the nose, and you can see a little program, runs about 8 minutes, which runs through a generic shuttle mission. We've actually put it together from various shuttle missions, but it shows you pretty well everything the shuttle could be involved in doing at any time.
One thing I would advise our listeners to do if they do go to the powerhouse is, inside that module, turn your back to the screen that's showing the video and look up, and you'll find a mirror there. And what will they see in the mirror, Kerry?
What they'll see reflected in the mirror is the cockpit of the space shuttle. What we did do was to reproduce the cockpit area of the shuttle up above visitors' heads, where it would actually be located in the real shuttle. Now, of course, it was unfortunately too difficult for us to provide direct access, so we've used the mirror to reflect it, and you can see what the cockpit area looks like, even though you can't get up there.
When I came out of that shuttle cockpit, one of the amazing sights was this huge bell-like structure hanging over people's heads, and quite a fearsome thing to walk under. I looked quite long at the supports to make sure it wasn't going to fall down. What is that structure?
Everybody does that. I love to stand there actually and watch people think about whether or not they're going to walk under it. This particular thing is in fact an F1 rocket motor from the Saturn V launch vehicle that was used to launch astronauts to the moon back in the 1960s and 70s. The first stage of the Saturn V had five of these F1 motors in it. Now, they're approximately, they're approximately about 18 feet tall, about 10 feet wide, 10 to 12 feet wide across the base of the bell. And they weigh, here I can be metric, they weigh about 10 tons. So you have this rather large 10-ton mass suspended above you. But I have been assured by the engineers who installed it that it is guaranteed to last through earthquake, etc., for at least 25 years. So you don't have to worry about walking under it. But in fact, we deliberately chose to do it that way because of the effect that it has on people of walking under it and seeing how huge this thing is. In the States, I've seen a lot of them displayed on the ground where you can walk up to it and measure yourself against its height, as it were, and that's great. But I always wanted myself to be able to walk under one and get the feeling of what it would be like to walk under a Saturn V rocket. And that's what we've tried to achieve with this.
It certainly is impressive being able to look right up the nozzle. Where is it from? I mean, is it one that's actually been used in flight, or was it a spare, or is it just a mock-up?
No, it's a real one. It's not a mock-up. And it was, in fact, a test model. That is, it was never used in an actual flight, because, of course, the ones that were used in flight are now a mangled mass somewhere in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. But it was used by Rocketdyne, who were the people who made these rocket engines, as a test item. That is, they would fire it up to make sure that these rockets would work correctly. And in fact, ours had been used as a test item.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Southern FM.
It's okay. My pleasure, Andrew. Thank you.